Hint sheet. Hymn number 6.
God in mercy send his son to
still sing another song. Hymn number 10. You know, I sang that song as a boy in Germany. We had that obviously translated from the English. There's a Savior on high in the glory, a Savior who suffered on Calvary's tree, a Savior as willing to save now as ever. His arm is almighty, his love great and free. Oh, come now to Jesus. the dear loving Savior, receive him this moment, and peace shall be thine.
There is a Savior on high, in the glory, a Savior of heaven and Calvary Thank you.
to preach the gospel tonight from an Old Testament story. And I hope you will see as we go along that this story is a beautiful story that can be used to preach the gospel. We read in 2 Kings chapter 5, from verse 1 on. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid. She waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of this leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." The king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." Came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Papa, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he says to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." But he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord will pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian, is not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is it all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments, and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. When he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let them, the men, go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. Well, I think the children here all have heard the story of Naaman at one time or another. And I really have this story on my heart mostly for your benefit, because we like to hear that story again, don't we? It's a wonderful story in the Old Testament. And what touches me especially in this story is the place that that little maid played in Naaman's life. And I have sometimes thought, what would I have done if I would have been that little maid? You know, here the armies of the Syrians come to the land of Israel, and they take captives and they kidnap that little girl. She couldn't have been very old. She was a little girl. And she ended up in the house of Naaman, the captain of the host of the Syrians. He was the supreme commander of the army of Syria. That's how we would call him today. He was quite a great man. And I'm afraid if I would have been that little girl, I would not have had in my heart such kind thoughts and pity as this little girl manifested. You know, she really manifests a Christian spirit, doesn't she? You know, under the law, it was eye for eye and tooth for tooth. You know, she could have been angry with the Syrians for taking her away from her family. How would you like to be taken away from your dad and from your ma? And perhaps never to see them again? You know, nowadays, in our day, we get into the car and we drive hundreds of miles in one day. Or we go on a plane and we fly across the United States In 4 hours, or maybe 6 hours, from the east to the west, you know, that took a year to travel for the early settlers that great distance. You know, when they undertook a journey in those days, they might never see their relatives again. And she certainly had no promise from those Syrians that they would ever turn her back and give her back to her parents. Maybe they wouldn't even know where she came from, you know, to take her back there. But here she meets this master, this new master, and she finds out he is a leper. And she pities him. And she desires that that man would be healed of his leprosy. You know, we, some of us here in this room that know the Lord Jesus, have a similar desire in our hearts for you. Because you might not have leprosy, but you do have a disease of which leprosy is a picture. Leprosy in the Word of God speaks of sin. And there isn't one in the world that is not sinner. Everyone is a sinner, born into this world of sinful parents, a sinner by nature and by practice. And the Word of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. The preacher tonight at one time was a sinner and was guilty before God. This deadly disease of sin dwelt within and controlled my life. You know, I was even singing that hymn that we sang tonight in a choir before I was saved. I remember singing the hymn Almost Persuaded before an audience in the choir, and I myself had no assurance of salvation. I had not come in personal faith to the Lord Jesus. I was like this Naaman. And you are like that Naaman if you have not come to the Lord Jesus to be cleansed of your sin. But how wonderful, this little girl desired the blessing of this man. And what faith did this maid have? If he only knew about the prophet of God. You know, she was not very old, but she had heard of the prophet of God. You know what a prophet of God is? A prophet of God is a man that speaks for God to men. He's a messenger from God. And she knew him to be such a man. And she had faith that if this man, Naaman, would come to that prophet, this prophet could heal him of this disease. You know, it is not by chance that you have come to this meeting tonight if you are not saved. I believe that God has directed you and your steps so that you would be in this audience tonight, that you would hear the gospel of the grace of God. But there are certain things that you have to accept, just like Naaman had to accept. First of all, isn't that a wonderful fact that this little girl had a lot of credibility with her master and her mistress, that they would even pay attention to what this little girl said? I'm sure this little girl did not only have pity and mercy for her master. I believe that she conducted herself in that home in such a way that when she spoke of that prophet that lived in her homeland, she was believed. They believed her. Now, I would like to ask you tonight, don't accept anything because I say it. You might not even know me, but accept what I read to you and what I quote to you from the Word of God. You know, salvation comes by hearing the Word of God. At this time, there was a prophet to whom God would speak. Now, today, we have the Word of God, the written Word of God. And when we read this Word, it is like God speaking to you. And you have to come to realize that you have to do with God. It does make very little difference what you think of me, of any other Christian in this room. What makes the difference is what you think of the Word of God. Whether you accept the Word of God as the Word of God, and the Spirit would desire to accomplish that tonight in your life. But then, the king heard about this. The king was interested in getting this useful, mighty man that headed up his army healed of that disease. You know, leprosy at that time was an incurable disease. I understand medicine has been able to arrest that disease with many today, but not at that time. So leprosy in the Word of God is a picture of an incurable disease. Some of us here have had the privilege of visiting in India where there are many lepers. You know, it's a real pitiful thing to see them sitting there with the fingers gone, the feet gone, open sores, leprosy. And it keeps on eating and destroying the body, you know, until finally it leads to death. And this is what is true of sin. Sin eats away in a spiritual way, destroying you. You know, the devil uses sin and the lusts to lead you into deeper and deeper sin, destroying your soul. But God is not desiring the death of the sinner. He desires that all be saved. That's God's desire. And that they come to the knowledge of the truth. But this Naaman and the king of Syria had to learn that they had to go to the right place in order to find help for Naaman. You know, they sent to the king of Israel and expect that he would cure this man. They must have not quite understood what this little girl was saying. They must have thought that the king was the one that the girl was talking about. And here the king is in distress. You know, this king of Syria is only looking for an occasion to go to war against me. There will be more problems for my people and for myself. Am I God? He says, yes. Only God can heal the sin that is in you and in me, or in this case, leprosy. Only God can heal it. God has the cure. So here he comes to the king. The king can help this man, but the prophet hears about it. And he sends to the king. And then Naaman comes to the house of the prophet. But Naaman had to not only learn that he had to come to the right place in his thinking. You know, he had his own ideas. And that's what we find in the world today. People say there are many roads that lead to Rome. That's true. But there is only one road that leads to heaven. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The sinner has to give up his own thoughts and accept God's way of salvation. You know. He was insulted that that prophet didn't even have the courtesy to come out and then do what he thought he should do. Well, that man had to learn that he had to come God's way, that he had to accept the word of God and submit to the word of God in order to be healed. And he had to also learn that he had to get off his high horse. You know, God is no respecter of persons. When it is a question of sin, everybody is equal before God. God doesn't make any difference whether somebody is the chief of staff of the Army of the United States or whether it is a pauper, a beggar. You know, we had a happy experience. Brother Gordon needed his car fixed while he was in Mozambique. And we went to a man that fixed the car very quickly for him, and then he took us for a ride in that car, and he asked, what brought you here to Wisconsin, and where are you going, and so on. So we told him, he's a servant of the Lord. And he's on his way to a Bible conference in Walla Walla. And he'll go ahead and we will follow later, but we'll meet there again. He said, I have to tell you a story. He said, I used to be on Skid Row. Do you know what Skid Row is? Brother Chuck used to preach there once a week. You know, Skid Row. That's where the bums are. You can't get very low. Or very much lower than being a bum on Skid Row. And this man was saved. And he gave the credit to the Lord. It doesn't make any difference whether you are a bum on Skid Row or whether you are one of the princes or the generals in the world, greatly honored. You have to come as a sinner. You know, and the Lord Jesus is able to make the vilest of sinners clean. You know, it's a wonderful thing if there are people in this audience that have not been on Skid Row and have not lived immoral lives and have been living as decent citizens in their communities. But they're still sinners. Still sinners. And they have to come like that bum on Skid Row to the Lord Jesus for salvation. He's the only one that can cleanse from sin. We had the privilege of visiting a cousin of mine in Berlin on our recent trip to Europe. He's my age, a month older than I am. He's not saved. And it was one of our exercises to go to Berlin to see this cousin and speak to him about the Lord. And we had an opportunity to speak to him about the Lord. And he said, at first, he said, yeah, he said, I know the Lord Jesus died for all of us, but, you know, he said, I lived a pretty decent life. And I believe he did. He had a high position as a police officer in Berlin and lived a decent family life. He didn't wallow in the mire. He said, I know the Lord Jesus died for us, but I live pretty decent, and I believe he will accept me on that basis. Well, I said to him, he won't accept you on that basis. There's no hope for you on that basis. Well, he said, I think I'm quite satisfied. It'll do for me. Well, we had an opportunity to read the scriptures to him the morning we left and read Ephesians 2. By grace are you saved through faith. Not by works, lest any man should boast. And in Titus, where we read, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. And I pleaded with him. I said, please don't take that ground of standing before God on the basis of your decent life, it certainly is good that you haven't been on Skid Row wallowing in the mire. But God cannot accept you that way. There is no hope for you. One sin of eating from a tree that was forbidden, eating of that fruit, plunged Adam and the whole human race into the position of sinners, and he was driven out of the garden, away from the presence of God. He didn't commit murder, he didn't live an immoral life, but he was disobedient to God. He ate of the forbidden fruit. I believe he was touched. You can pray for him. Siegfried is his name. But how sad. This is where a lot of people are. They trust in their decent life, and yet, if they're honest with themselves, is there anyone who can say, I have never lied? I've never done anything wrong? Well, the holiness of God cannot accept anybody, even if he only has committed one sin that alienates you from God, and you will be separated from him for all eternity. Well, Naaman had his own ideas. And people still have their own ideas how they think they can be acceptable to God. But God cannot accept anything from a guilty sinner. You know, a sinner cannot atone for his own sin. Just think. Those who don't accept the Lord Jesus are going to be cast into the lake of fire and are punished for sin for all eternity and never come to the point that they will pay for their sin or make atonement for their sin. It's only punishment for sin that they will endure for all eternity. Only a sinless victim can become the sin bearer. The one who knew no sin was made sin for us. Sin for me. So that I might become the righteousness of God in him. What a wonderful truth that is, to be able to present to guilty sinners that God has found a way how sinners can be brought back to him. How they can be made whole. You know, the Lord Jesus is not only going to bear your sins so that you don't have to go to hell. He will also deliver you from the power of sin, from the power of the devil, and enable you to live a life pleasing to God after you are saved. Well, Naaman was angry. He didn't want to do what the Word of God had told him. You know, when this prophet was speaking to Naaman, it was really the Word of God that was given to Naaman. But Naaman didn't accept it as the Word of God. And he had his ideas, you know. He knew how dirty that river Jordan was and how much better some of the rivers in Damascus were, in the land of Syria. And why should he go there, into that dirty water? And why couldn't he bathe in one of those rivers that he mentions here? Well, the Jordan, in the Word of God, is a picture of the death of the Lord Jesus. That's what the Jordan speaks of. You know, and we have to, as it were, appropriate for ourselves by faith the work of the Lord Jesus. Accept that. Accept his person and his work in order to be cleansed. You know why I can tell you that Jordan is a picture of the death of the Lord Jesus? You know, when those children of Israel came out of Egypt into the promised land, The Jordan was one of the places that they had to go through, just like the Red Sea, you know. And the stones were put into the middle of that river. 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel, where the ark had stood, and 12 stones were put on the other side. You know, that spoke of those 12 tribes of the children of Israel. You know, they were, as it were, put out of God's sight as sinners, and they were, as it were, new creatures in Christ on the resurrection side. The River Jordan, that which speaks of the death of Christ, is what was given to this man as a way for cleansing his sin. There is no other way for us today but the death of the Lord Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And let me emphasize, from all sin. From all sin. You know, we bought our first house in Mosinee from a former school teacher, and she became later on our renter, so we had quite a bit to do with that lady. And she was a dear soul, and she said, "I know the Lord Jesus died for my sins, but there are some sins that I have to atone for." That's what she was taught by the system into which she had grown up. And we quoted the Bible to her, I don't know how many times, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." You know, there isn't a sin that that blood cannot cleanse. And it will cleanse the vilest of sinners. You know, we might think that the vilest of sinners is the fellow that lives on skid row, lives an immoral life, has murdered somebody. No. Paul, who could say of himself that he was found blameless as far as the law is concerned, speaks of himself as the chiefest of sinners. Sinner number one. Why? He had persecuted the church of God. Well, how solemn it is not to accept the work of the Lord Jesus and the work of the Lord Jesus only for the cleansing of all of our sins. But now this man comes to this river after his servants pleaded with him. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? That's what we like to do tonight. We like to plead with you. If you have pushed it off and belittled God's way of salvation, please listen to the Word of God. Just like these servants pleaded with their master, so we would like to plead with you. Accept what the Word of God says. Go God's way, not your own. You know, in Romans we read of the obedience of faith. You know, we see that twice in the book of Romans, at the beginning and at the end. Yes, there is such a thing as obedience of faith, to accept God's word and act on it. That is what secures salvation. So, he goes to that river. He listens to his servants. But what did he have to do? Like I said already, he had to get off his high horse. He had to take that uniform off. You know, you have seen sometimes how these generals are decorated, you know. And when you think of how they were dressed during World War I, you know, they don't have their uniforms quite so glorious anymore as it was in the past, but they still make quite an impression when they stand there with all their decorations and honors. But he had to take that all off. You know, he had to go into that river just as a guilty sinner would, without expecting God accepting him because of any position that he had in life. So let's read some verses in the New Testament that show that God delights to bless and to save those that are esteemed little in man's eyes. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 26, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You know, Queen Victoria, I believe, came to know the Lord Jesus, and she was so glad that the word of God did not say not anything. It said not many. You know, there's salvation available for even those who are high born in this world or in high positions, just like this man was. But they had to come as guilty sinners. God could not accept them and give them a more favorable treatment because of who they were in this world. You know, the gospel is a leveler of all men, put them all on the same ground before God, and they have to come God's way. They have to, in humility, bow down and accept God's way of salvation. And God desires that they do get saved. And so he climbs into that water and he goes down. One time, two times, three times. Was he clean? No, only after he had dipped down seven times was he clean. You know, and his flesh was even better than before he got this disease. Like a little boy's flesh. You look at the flesh of a little boy compared to a man that is 50, 60 years old. Well, how wonderful God's grace can cleanse and make us whiter than snow, the Word of God says. How wonderful. We have a Savior God, but we have to accept His Word. We have to come His way. You know, He had to learn something else, and that is that He could not buy, could not use money and clothing to earn anything or gain anything. It was all free. You know, the prophet did not even speak to him. He sent a messenger out to him when he came to his house. But after he was cleansed, he does come out to him. And he speaks to him, and he makes it clear. Not silver or gold, we sing, has wrought our redemption. Not by anything that we can pay can we be saved. You know, isn't this what people try to do? You know, they form all kinds of societies and do good to the poor and think that that is something that God can accept for them. I used to work at a hospital, Jewish hospital in Chicago, and they had formed a club, Jewish club for crippled children, and it was certainly a very noble thing they were doing. But it was all based on doing something that would make themselves acceptable before God. We cannot, by works, nor by money, gain salvation. And how sad it is that Gehazi goes after this man. He was covetous. And he spoils this perfect picture of the gospel in the Old Testament by asking for silver, asking for raiment, flying to get it. Isn't it a painful thing to see this man being associated with the prophet of Jehovah, a servant of this prophet, and then to spoil his life by covetousness? How sad. I believe that is a very solemn lesson that we have in this servant of the prophet, Elisha. I believe that if he would not have fallen in that way, he might himself, in due time, have become a prophet of Jehovah. But we find later on in his life, in the 8th chapter, that this man, although he was a leper, is in the court of the king of Israel and entertaining the king with the works that he had witnessed done by Elisha. Yet he was a leper. You know, according to the law, he was to be outside, you know, calling unclean. Gives you an insight even how unscriptural the king of Israel behaved in allowing even this man in his court. You know, isn't that true that people entertain people by using things from the Word of God? You know, they even invite people to come to the churches because there is a jester there who will clown around using the Word of God, a comedian, a Christian comedian. Well, that's the kind of a thing that this man was doing. But how solemn. The leprosy of Naaman was on him and on his seed forever. But what a wonderful character this Naaman manifests. He did not only get cleansed from leprosy, he came to know the true and living God. You know, the gospel is not only to make sure that you get rid of your sins and that you're not going to go to hell. The gospel also wants to familiarize you and make you to know a God of love. Have a personal relationship with that God. And he had a tender conscience. You know, he had a conscience about bowing down in an idol temple. You know, and he was the servant of that king, and it was apparently part of his duty that he had to support the king. Maybe the king was an old man, you know, and he had a conscience. Now, isn't that wonderful that the prophet doesn't say, don't do this and don't do that. He sees a conscience, a tender conscience in Naaman, and he says, go in peace. I'm sure the Lord took care of Naaman. Maybe he never had to bow down in the house of Rimmon. But isn't that nice to see that this man not only got cured of that which is a picture of sin, but that he also comes to know the true and living God. You know, we come to know God through the Lord Jesus in a more intimate way than any Old Testament ever knew God. No Old Testament saints could ever speak to God as his Father. He was not in that kind of a relationship. But we can. We are all the sons of God through faith in the Lord Jesus, the scripture says. We are an intimate relationship to God. We are in the family of God. We are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Isn't that wonderful that God wants to have children and wants to have a family, and he has decided that those who at this time, during the day of grace, accept his Son, the Lord Jesus, will be part of the family of God. be in that intimate relationship to know God as Father, to be able to say, Abba, Father. You know, we have had the privilege of being in the Middle East a number of times. And I tried to familiarize myself to some extent with Islam, with the religion of Islam. And you know what they say? They believe that it is blasphemy to say that God wants us to be his children. They say God wants us to be his slaves. That's the teaching of Islam. How wonderful to have a God through the Lord Jesus, know a God that is a God of love, a God of grace. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And he has made known the Father. And that you can come to him like a little child would come to his father, in confidence, being that close to him. Don't you want that for yourself? To have a father like God and have God as your father. He has a father's house for us where we spend eternity with the Lord Jesus. Oh, I trust there is nobody in this room that will be so foolish of turning away from that which God in his grace is offering today. The only way you can come to know God and to know your sins forgiven and to know to be on the way to heaven is by coming God's way, by accepting his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the work that he has done on Calvary's cross. He alone can make atonement and has made atonement for sin. And you can know tonight that your sins are forgiven when you by faith accept the Lord Jesus. God is just and the justifier of him that believeth on Jesus. You know, God cannot go back on his word. He has said that if you accept the Son, the Lord Jesus, you will be cleansed from all his guilt. You will be justified from all things. Oh, how wonderful the gospel message is. I hope there is none in this room tonight that will pass up the opportunity and will not accept the gospel message. Accept the Lord Jesus. You know, today is the day of salvation. Today, when we hear his word, harden not your heart, is what the word of God says. It's a very solemn thing to reject God's message of mercy and God's way of salvation. The only way is through Christ, the Son of God. Let's pray.